Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Backtalk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
How sweet it is. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Ezra Hoover.
And this is Backtalk. And I used to be a walker. Boy, could I walk.
Yeah?
Now that I've seen this movie, The Long Walk, I don't think I'm doing it anymore.
But did you take bathroom breaks? That's the real question.
That is something that crossed my mind. I couldn't last that long.
Even for marathon runners, they have this issue. And that's, you know, 3 or 4 hours. We're talking about 100 hours or more.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to go.
They did do that fairly well.
They really
did. Now, look, this is a what? How many young men are walking in this long walk? Would you, a couple dozen?
Yes, 40-something.
Call The Long Walk. It's a Stephen King adaptation.
It is.
I'm thinking that there's a Stephen King that this is like. I am thinking of Shawshank Redemption.
Of course. How can you not?
Okay.
Do you think these films are similar, Shawshank and The Long Walk?
In the camaraderie, yes.
Okay.
Between Red and Andy,
right,
or whatever.
Right. And we are commiserating with misfits, people who have no option, essentially.
But you know what I didn't realize initially in this? They're conscripted.
Yes. Well, they enter a lottery, but they have to enter the lottery. You're right. Correct. They are.
Because King clearly wanted to parallel the war in Vietnam.
Right.
I mean, it was on his mind.
Government overreach.
Ooh-hoo.
And it's a very intense, you're absolutely right, very intentional young men around in their early 20s.
Yes.
Who don't have a whole lot else going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And everyone's watching. The media is watching.
Yes.
And you may die, and it's all for entertainment. Just for a prize that you may not be able to enjoy.
Yeah.
This story is written way, way back in the 60s or 70s, I believe.
His first one.
First
one for publication.
First one that was written but not published. So I think he wrote it first and then published other ones. So it was one of his earliest ones. And
It was
published under a pseudonym.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, you're good at Bachman.
Bachman.
His Bachman.
That's why he didn't want to use it. Why wouldn't you use your real name if your name's Stephen King? That's a great name. It's way better than Bachman. Maybe he was embarrassed.
Did you find it unbelievable?
I found there were a couple of issues. The first issue, it's very similar to another movie where you have young kids fighting to the death, a.k.a. The Hunger Games.
Yes.
And the director the director of The Hunger Games.
Yes, right. Francis Lawrence,
all except the first Hunger Games movie. Very, very similar. Now, is that Stephen King's fault? No, because it predates that movie by quite a bit. But it's very similar, and it made me scratch my head a little bit about kind of why we're doing this. But what did you think about it?
I enjoyed it. I enjoy Stephen King. This is, really denuded Stephen King.
Yes.
Not so many of his tropes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a straight story.
Very straight.
And they even give you the number of hours or days or whatever.
Right. And I'm glad you bring that up. It's definitely a straight story. It's a very simple concept.
Yes.
But in those cases, in my opinion, you have to do it well. We know what's going to happen from the beginning. There's a race.
Exactly.
One person will win. Everyone else will die.
Yes, right.
Right? So what's going to draw us in? What's the hook? And I think what they were going for was the dialogue, heavy dialogue, where we explore a lot about the motivations of the characters. And I don't know about you, but I found the delivery a little bit uneven for some of the characters. It felt a little unnatural, almost like Shakespearean kind of.
Yeah, and you had some stock characters.
Yes, you did.
You know, you have the bad boy, the bully.
Right, you have
the nice guy.
You have the nerd.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. So you have some stock characters, but it didn't bother me much at all.
Okay.
And I was not at all disturbed by anything that was happening here, except the incontinence that bothered me. I knew I wouldn't make it.
Well, I knew immediately as someone that used to run a long time ago, many eons ago. That was the first thought that came into my head. They're going to have to go to the bathroom at some point.
What do long distance runners do?
They just let it go. I mean, you try to clear it out ahead of time, but a lot of times it's very common to do a marathon, especially people who are very serious and want to finish for time.
Get out.
It's just let it rip.
I never thought.
John, you've been training for that race for weeks, months. You're not going to let a little, you know what, stop your time.
Yeah.
Your winning potential.
So many of the films that I have seen that are sci-fi related have family motifs.
Okay.
And there's one here.
Absolutely. With his mother, a very direct one, which in the end complicates the plot for me a little bit. And we will spoil the end here, but there's a sacrificial aspect. They become brothers. They bond.
Yeah.
And they keep, each of them tries to sacrifice themselves for the other when it's down to the final two.
Well, King and Lawrence and everybody else involved here strings you along because you're always anticipating as you look at them. And as they peel away and you're down to five, four of them, you're then constantly thinking about who is going to survive.
Right.
And you think it's the schlubby guy, the nice guy, Ray. Right.
Yes.
I mean, I think he's the prime candidate.
Right. Who never loses his breath or limps at all, even in his flabby shell. He's no problem. Know, he's still going. Even at the end, he's still walking.
He's definitely overweight.
Yes.
And his buddy Pete, is it? Is so freaking fit.
Right. Right. Who, by the way, I just remembered, he plays the android or the cyborg, whatever it's called, in Alien Romulus. He was the cybernetic being who was taking care of the girl, with a much more interesting character, in my
opinion.
Now,
this guy has the most unusual face.
He does.
In film.
He does. I think it's wasted a little bit in this movie. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm just fascinated by it's scrunched.
It is.
His face.
It is.
And yet, he carries it off.
He emotes.
Yeah.
Incredibly.
He really does. And the other characters seem to me to be, they're bound not to make. There are certain stuff in here you know.
Right.
You know, this is like a trope. Yes.
Right. And one thing that we bring up, that theme of brotherhood. All these kids who have never met each other before, and they know everyone's going to die but one, and there's not a single person really who's scheming to mess up the other players. If you know you got to make it to the end, would you become instant friends?
That's a great point. In this film, and again, we're talking about the long walk, not the long march, which is what I wanted to call it.
Oh, yeah. That's a better one.
Yeah, right. But the long walk, we do have people breaking down.
Right.
But not as much as I would think when you consider the pressure that the odds, and they do mention odds now and then.
Yes.
I think when
one in a whatever percentage. There is one kid who tries to break away. And I think with such a simple concept like this, I want to see more of what would people do in this situation. I think there's only two times where someone tries to run away. One kid tries to grab a gun unsuccessfully and he gets killed. But another guy tries to run in a city, like in a town, where he could easily...
He tries to run away.
Yes, but he just runs into a wall and he gets shot.
And it's...
Run into an alleyway, man. What are you doing?
Well, one of them runs into almost like a glass door.
Yes, exactly. Go around the side. You have days to think about
right,
this.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Not.
No, it's not. And there's not that many troops. Three troops and two vehicles, right? You can get away because they have to follow all the other guys.
Yeah, what is it with these trucks, military trucks?
What did you think of our the Major's character, showing Mark Hamill's range as an actor?
It was another part that I found. I was scratching
I thought
my
he was
head.
A little hammy.
I said, how does he get away with this?
He's pretty hammy in this one.
Right.
Very.
But it is dystopian.
Kind of.
I thought of such things as, how come he made it only to Major?
Right. I think he's the highest ranking guy, right? Why not just promote yourself?
And we have no context.
No. And then also the end of the movie where he's the congratulations, son. What's your wish? He goes, give me a gun.
So why don't you just give away the ending? Oh, I mean, I don't understand why.
That's fine. We always do that, John. If you can't tell, I'm not.
Well, it was written 100 years ago.
If
you, people are not up on this.
Right, exactly. I mean,
the last shot.
Yes.
You're going off and there's nothing in front of them but
walks.
Road.
Right.
So
he's got to walk some more.
Well, I thought there was a sense that there is no end.
Okay.
You think you can get rid of the Major, you are not getting rid of. We have politicians that I believe we'll never get rid of.
Right.
You know, around the world. And there is that feeling. So I thought his last shot was symbolic of the fact that really, what has he done?
Yes. And they did try to clumsily, in my opinion, mix in issues of race and inequality with the line, the very hammy line. He said, you've been walking for 4 days. I've been walking my whole life.
That's
a little cringy.
Yeah.
I get what they're trying to do, but they didn't really explore it fully. We don't get to see the characters' backgrounds, which in a lot of ways, this movie feels more like a play rather than a movie because there's such limited locales and limited transportation of the viewer to other areas.
Yes. And yet at the same time, I'm thankful that I don't have to go back to slobbering wives who are waiting for their husbands.
I guess.
You know, I mean,
well, only one's married, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Married.
But you do have mom.
Uh-huh, that's true.
But then, and played by Judy Greer.
But if you're mom, why would you show up at the and distract him when if you trip for even 1 second, you'll die? You're Come on. It's ridiculous.
But if your son is going to almost to his doom.
Yes.
Don't you think you'd end up showing?
Probably. But then a couple minutes later, after he sees his mom and almost gives up everything to see her, he decides that he'll sacrifice himself anyway and let the other guy win. So I don't get it. Does he love his mom or not, John? I don't know.
We have a lot of ambient noise in previous in the show, but that's who we are.
We are.
Because we're out on the road.
Uh-huh.
We're walking with a whole bunch of people
mm-hmm.
who are half crazed. But again, they don't have a choice, right? They win the lottery, so to speak. And the parallel is almost too obvious to the war
mm-hmm.
and to be conscripted in the war. Now, I've never told you that I came very close.
Did you?
I was in D.C., and I had a couple of kids, but they called me.
Mm-hmm.
I did the physical.
Really?
Half of us.
Really?
Half of us passed it. Now, you can imagine the cretins that were the other half.
Oh, man.
And as I looked at it and said, I've got to spend 2 years? I took a bus, like a school bus, out for the physical.
Mm-hmm.
These people didn't pass. Half of them didn't pass. Wow. It was so incredibly
well,
easy.
Well, I know you didn't have any bone spurs, John. No bone spurs in your feet.
I did. Right. I did not. So I was afraid. And then Jack Kennedy comes through and says, if you have kids, you don't have to go.
Wow.
Oh,
I bet you voted for him again.
Oh, I
would have. If you could have, you would have.
I was married in the church that he and she were married in Georgetown.
Wow.
So I have connections.
Okay.
And my wife was there the night his body was brought in at Bethesda Naval Hospital.
Do you know Robert as well?
No. Do you mean Junior?
Junior.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Well, anyway, we're getting off. We understand King's parallel, and it doesn't work today because we don't have conscription today.
No, we don't.
So how does it work? How does this movie work today? Are they digging it up and bringing it in front of us, and it has no relevance, or does it have relevance? Here I am. I'm baiting you. Look at me. Look at me.
You can bait me all you want.
I know.
I say no, John. It was a miss for me. It didn't speak to me, and I need to do some serious introspection because the vast majority of critics are singing the praises of this movie, and I just didn't get it. I think it did tackle a really wide array of topics: racism, class, government, overreach, tyranny, war, pessimism of society, violence on TV. There's so many topics and themes, it seems difficult to cover all of them.
And you're right. There are way too many. Mm-hmm. And the major one is too obvious.
Right.
Anybody who is going to complain about this movie will start right away by saying, well, hell, man, that's so easy. Look at the Vietnam War.
Right.
Look at any war
mm-hmm.
where you have young people going to war and now young men and women.
Right.
And we get it. It's not nice at all.
Nope.
We do understand that schlubby young men who are attached to their mother
mm-hmm.
are going to be crying all over the place by leaving mom.
Of course.
And
in attempting to tackle race, I don't know. I didn't read the book, so I don't know how specific
yeah.
they are. But there's one of each, almost like Power Rangers. There's a black guy. There's a really dark-skinned guy. There's a white guy. There's an Asian guy. There's a Latin guy. And then there's a Native American guy with long hair who yells Native American calls as he's dying and bleeding onto the ground. It's a little goofy,
yeah.
Todd. It's a little too much.
Ezra Hoover.
Yes.
So what do you advise about our movie?
If you are a Stephen King completionist, then by all means, go ahead. What about you, John? I think we need to let you...
The Long Walk.
Yes.
Well, I figured what you did when you saw it, you said, oh, this is perfect for John. It's got allegory written all over it.
Yes.
I can just hear you now. And it's true. My mind is working right away like the English major saying, okay, what's he really talking about here? And it was maybe just a little bit too easy for me.
Maybe.
Well, Ezra, if for nothing else, seeing Mark Hamill come back again once more is worth seeing The Long Walk.
Right.
And I liked it much more than you did. But it wasn't the best movie I ever saw. And it certainly wasn't the best Stephen King.
It was ambitious.
Yeah.
How about that?
But tell me, if you're talking about really great Stephen King adaptation, do you have any that comes to your mind?
I have so many, John. But before we delve in, I was just thinking, some may label me maybe too woke for this, but what if this the same movie, but we add women into it? How much more interesting would it be?
I was going to say it was devoid of it, yet we have the mom.
We only have the mom.
We have only the mom.
Right. Now, and that's, see, Stephen King's early brain has not evolved enough yet to understand.
But let me tell you, when we start in all these war movies, and yes. this is a war movie,
okay,
and we have to cut to the family and to the mom and the wife and the little Zoes all over the place. And I say,
Zoe's tough.
I know. They have to, Zoe's your new baby. But anyway, I have a feeling she's very tough. But I just get so bored with the long suffering.
You're there for the guts, Gloria. You're a Saving Private Ryan guy.
I'm there for what you hit as the major motif here, which right. is the relationships among yes. the combatants
among
here.
Among the soldiers.
Yeah.
Yes.
The relationship with the father figure in Mark Hamill.
Mm-hmm. And ooh, a literal father. Come on, Tom. That's just corny. It's his actual father. It's so heavy handed.
That's right.
It's so heavy handed.
And isn't it interesting how they dealt with that?
And then they killed him anyway.
There's nothing. That's
no,
just it.
No.
I thought they would cut away so we could at least see Dad.
The big reveal.
All right, give me a...
Anyway, let's go to some Stephen King movies.
Favorite, but...
Well, I'm a horror guy, as you know, so The Shining. The Shining is up there as one of my favorite
of all times.
Boy,
that is my number two.
Is it your number
two? Wow, wow. And I don't mean the number two in the movie.
Like... Hurry up and pinch one off.
But Jack Nicholson.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And I was listening to someone else's opinion of that. Apparently not everyone loves The Shining because it's a little amorphous. It's a little artsy-fartsy where
yeah,
the plot is not super clear. But I like that. You feel almost like you're in a fever dream.
Look, the guy can't write. And that's his job.
Oh, I thought you meant Stephen King. But yeah, he can't write. He can't write.
How else are we going to have that immortal image mm-hmm. of Jack through the door?
Through the door.
With his smile. Right.
And the scene of the mom with the baseball bat.
No, no.
Swinging at him and then she falls down the stairs. They did that, 80 times or something. Did you ever read about that?
No.
He made him do the scene over and over and over again.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of lore. That movie has achieved this kind of next level status, almost like The Exorcist, where things happened to people during the filming, and it was incredible. The scene where the elevator door opens and then the fruit punch comes out
talk
in slow motion.
Iconic.
Oh, yeah.
The two twins. The maze.
Yes, the
maze.
I mean,
look at these images.
It's beautiful.
They're so profound.
Kubrick, right?
Yeah. Here's my king,
okay.
Number one. And it's not horror.
Okay.
Shawshank.
Shawshank Redemption. I knew you were going to say that. Excellent movie. Flawless.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's got Morgan Freeman. How can it be bad?
And you know, in less than an hour, you can go up to that prison.
Can you?
Yeah.
I actually didn't even know.
They have a great tour.
Is it in Ohio?
And begins with an M. Mansfield.
Now, in my research, I watched Shawshank closer to when it came out a long time ago. But I was expanding my repertoire of Stephen King movies, and I watched The Green Mile.
Yeah.
Which may be, I don't know, maybe better than The Shawshank. I'll be stoned for this, but...
Yeah.
Fantastic movie. I love Tom Hanks. He's always a great performance. But the direction of that movie, the physical presence of...
Now, is there any horror in that movie? It's been so long.
No.
No,
not so
there
much.
Isn't.
Mm-mm.
This is why I like King.
Yes.
Because he doesn't always have to be...
Well, it is horror. It's a prison movie, right? So the horrors of being
yes.
a prisoner on death row.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, horrible Stephen King.
Okay.
Unforgettable image, Carrie.
Carrie the Rage.
Carrie.
Carrie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That scene in the end.
Mm-hmm. That's a fan. There's a lot of blood.
Well, yes. I mean, there is revenge.
That's
you talk about
classics.
Revenge porn.
That's one of the classics. How about It? Have you?
Yes, I have seen.
Do you like the It movies?
Yes, I did. I think that monster is a good one.
That clown, yeah.
I think the clown.
Played by Skarsgård.
Yeah, Skarsgård.
Great job.
And I can't pass by one of those grates in the street.
Oh, yeah.
I can't without... thinking, I'm moving a little bit over so that I don't get near there.
Stay away from the drains, the storm drains.
Now, you know what's coming up.
Okay.
The Running Man.
Oh,
which
they,
I have never read. I know nothing about
it's supposed to be one of the greats.
Yeah, it's coming up now, a new version within weeks.
I'll be sure to see it.
Yeah, right.
Now, speaking of writers and overzealous fans, how about Misery with Kathy Bates?
Yes. And there is one that's so narrow. It's just a couple of characters, really.
It's just a house.
Yeah.
That's it. You never leave the house.
And so people who don't like The Shining might like Misery.
Maybe.
And Kathy Bates is particularly good. I think
one of the greatest actresses of all time. And the scene where she breaks his ankle. Oh, it's just a fake ankle filled with Jell-O, but still.
The Mist.
The Mist is a one-off series where, again, they're just stuck in one small area. Poisonous mist.
Is this the one where they're in the grocery store?
Yes, they're stuck in the grocery store the whole time.
Yeah.
That's one of the best horror movies I've ever seen.
Yes, yes.
A lot of people don't like it that much. In the end, they do go and reveal all the monsters, which is a little bit of, I'd say, a no-no. But for something shot just in a gas station grocery store, that's a fantastic movie.
One of the things I liked about that was it was a grocery store. I go to a grocery store.
Yeah, it's relatable. You know,
who would have thought?
It's relatable. Yeah. Because, again, some of the best horror movies, going back to Night of the Living Dead, it's not really about the zombies, it's about the people. What are the people going to do that are stuck in the house or stuck in the grocery store?
All right, Ezra Hoover, I can't believe we bloviated for half an hour about this movie that you didn't particularly like, The Long Walk. And I liked it because Stephen King, with all of his that's going on in his head, in his first stages, actually was thinking about something to please me that is, would be
an allegory.
Simple-minded allegory.
An allegory.
He knew this, and particularly around the time when I was an English major. So this would be setting me going. So,
hey, John, just as a fun aside, what do you think Stephen King's net worth is now with all his books and movies?
With more than 400 attachments somewhere.
$500 million.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. I think he deserves it.
That's without even trying.
Right, without even trying.
$500 million, almost.
Well, I'm glad we were able to help him out by watching this movie.
So the movie is The Long Walk. It stars Mark Hamill. You won't know anybody else in this movie, but you will know Mark Hamill the major. What do you advise? All right, we're still at the end of summer, Ezra.
I think you need to go see it and make your own opinion, because a lot of people are raving about it. I think it's speaking to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just about a lot of the uncertainty and the unsettling themes of today.
And I think authoritarianism. Yes. I think this is speaking to that. More, it wasn't meant to be. There were plenty of examples around the world, but not certainly in America when Stephen King was writing this.
Right.
How prescient he is.
He was just a beatnik.
All right.